Page 28. Chilling out in Iceland. Exploring the island nation at the edge of the Arctic Circle. Despite its name, Iceland enjoys a relatively mild coastal climate. Winter highs average in the upper 30s, but when the wind kicks up, 30 degrees can feel frigid. Arrive at Keflavik Airport in the late afternoon, as my husband Tom and I did in early November, and you won't see daylight until a little after 9 a.m. the next morning. In much of December and early January, the sun won't rise until just past 11 a.m. Never mind, it's worth the wait for a slow sunrise that casts a brilliant pink light on the snowy mountains and blue sea surrounding Reykjavik, Iceland's capital city. More New England fishing village than cosmopolitan capital, it's a walkable town with a quaint seafront and houses sheathed in colorful corrugated steel. Alone in the middle of the Atlantic, at the edge of the Arctic Circle, Iceland may be one of the loneliest places on Earth, according to travel writer Pico Ayer. Or one of the happiest, writes Eric Weiner in The Geography of Bliss. Warm hospitality. Tempted by Iceland Air's offer of a bargain $650 round-trip fare between Seattle and Paris, including the option of a few days' stopover in Reykjavik, we decided to find out. Edda Jonasdottir lights candles as she lays out a pre-sunrise breakfast of cereals, homemade breads, cheese, slivers of smoked lamb and salmon, and a pitcher of Icelandic yogurt called Skyr. We could hear the wind howling outside our bedroom window, but it was cozy inside Guesthouse Eric the Red, a 12-room inn named for the Viking Eric the Red, who left Norway in the middle of the 10th century to settle in Iceland. He later discovered Greenland, and his son, Leif, led the first European exploration of the east coast of North America. Edda, 57, caters to climbers, hikers, and travelers on a budget. High cost of living. As they say in Iceland, Edda told us as she cranked up the registers in our room, the only thing cheap is the heat. Most everything except fish, sheep, and energy, geothermal power plants heat most of the homes and buildings, has to be imported. When a banking crisis in 2008 brought the country to the brink of bankruptcy, the value of the Icelandic krona tumbled to half what it was against the U.S. dollar, making a visit here feel less like sticker shock, but still pricey. Our room was an off-season bargain at $94, including Edda's big breakfast, a welcome extra considering the price of granola, fruit, yogurt, and coffee for two at a local cafe was $30. Cultural quirks. Talking together around the dining room table, we learned about some of the cultural quirks that come with living in a country whose closest neighbor is Greenland. Television? For years, it was unavailable on Thursdays and in July when the station crews were off work. Iceland has a population of only 300,000. Until the economic crisis hit, there were more jobs than workers to fill them, and no one to fill in on vacations. Hot pots. Within an hour's drive of Reykjavik is a landscape filled with hot springs, geysers, waterfalls, and fields of black lava rock, all carved by the same geological forces that triggered the 2010 eruption of the Eyjafjallajökull volcano. Iceland sits atop the boundary of the North American and Eurasian tectonic plates, making it a literal hotbed of volcanic and geothermal activity. A cold weather treat is going for a soak in one of the steaming, sulfur-scented outdoor public pools called hot pots. Our three-day stopover didn't allow for enough time to rent a car and drive around the island, so for a nutshell sense of Iceland's geography, we signed up for a day-long Golden Circle tour. Ducking in and out of a van for warmth, we joined a group of 15 others in exploring a field of steaming geysers, and the half-frozen Gullfoss waterfall, about an hour's drive from Reykjavik. In Thingvellir National Park, where Iceland's settlers formed the world's first parliament in 930 AD, we hiked on both sides of a rift where the earth split as the plates pulled apart. With banking kaput and fishing on the wane, energy and water could be the saving grace for the economy, said our guide, David Wellsbury, of Iceland Horizon Tours. In the meantime, Iceland is counting on tourism to ease its 7% unemployment rate. Affordable activities. The coveted Icelandic wool sweaters sell for hundreds of dollars, so we made souvenirs out of bags of marzipan-filled licorice sold at a weekend flea market on the waterfront. More affordable were Reykjavik's museums, most either free or cheap, art galleries, and excellent restaurants. As a light snow fell one afternoon, we walked to Sigrifin, on the harbor where former ship cook Kjartan Haldorsson, 71, serves whale kebabs and mugs of sea cucumber or lobster soup to customers at communal tables. For those not into all-night partying, there's the opera, Rigoletto with Icelandic subtitles, and cafes such as Babalu, an upstairs hideaway decorated with knickknacks and comfy sofas. Order a hot chocolate. Bring your knitting. Listen to Judy Garland singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Maybe, as Eric Weiner concludes in his book, The Geography of Bliss, colder is happier. Vocabulary focus. Chill out. Kick up. Quaint. Sheath. Crank up. Sticker shock. Hotbed. In a nutshell. Kaput. Saving grace. Coveted.